So today we're continuing where we've been for 2 weeks now. This is the third week. Next week will be the last week. We're spending the 4 weeks looking at the four core values that we have here at Hope Valley Church. So we looked 2 weeks ago at that we center on the Bible and talking about how the Bible is primary and central to what we do here. And last week we looked at this idea that we live as family and the idea that the church is more than just a place we come sometimes, but that it is a family, that we are adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God through salvation, that we do life together, that we gather, that we bear each other's burdens. Today we look at this idea that we exist as Hope Valley Church, we exist to be a blessing. And we're going to look at the fact that the primary blessing that we have, the primary way that we can bless others is through sharing the gospel news of salvation through faith alone in Christ alone, right? But that there's more to that. That involves more of how we live. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 is the main place we'll be today. We're going to read from there in just a moment, and then we're going to backtrack, and we're also going to be in the book of Genesis, hitting a few spots after that as well today. But as we look at this reality of to be a blessing, I want us to look at this teaching of Jesus here in Matthew 25. We're going to start in verse 31. As we look at this, we see Jesus giving these instructions, and he's separating in these two groups here of those who are the sheep and the goats. And we see some actions that he associates with that here, and we'll get more into that as we go today. But Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me." Then they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus' words here are pretty strong and shocking in a way to hear. But they reveal so much to us about following Jesus. They reveal so much to us here about the kingdom of God. And the first thing, we want to keep things fairly simple today with some complex truths. And so we just want to really understand two things today. And the first of those things we want to understand is that all people are either cursed or blessed. We're all either cursed or blessed. Now, I'm not talking about being lucky, right? You might hear someone say, oh, I feel like I'm just cursed. I feel like nothing's going my way. I've hit every red light going all the way across the valley. I never get the best parking spot. I stub my toe as I'm trying to get up to go to the bathroom in the dark in the middle of the night, which the older I get seems to happen a whole lot more, unfortunately. And, or you can think of the opposite. You can say, hey, man, I feel like, man, everything's going good. Like on a lucky streak here. And you might use that and say, well, I'm blessed, you know. And you're using that word blessed to just describe a good set of circumstances. And that's fine. But there's something so much deeper to this here. And when we say every person is either cursed or blessed, we're looking at your eternal state. We're looking at your relationship to God who has created you. And I said we're going to be in Genesis, hitting a few verses. If you want to follow along, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, and then we'll hit a few chapters after that, hitting some important verses here. But in chapter 1, verse 28, we see right away, right after God has created man, we see this, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. When God created humans, he blessed them. He created them to live in relationship with himself. But things very quickly changed. Adam and Eve, the first humans, failed to obey God. They sinned against God. And we skip over to Genesis chapter 3, and starting in verse 14, we see where they have sinned, and they were created, they were blessed, they sinned, and now we see a curse. It says in chapter 3, verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, representing Satan here, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. He said to the woman, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you. And he said to the man, because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the fields, yet you will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you are dust, and you will return to dust. So something we have to know about God is that God is a just and righteous God. And God made a standard of obedience, perfection here. And that Adam and Eve, in their sin entered the world for all of humankind. And when sin entered the world, that failed to meet God's righteous standard. And because he is a righteous God, he has to punish sin. And so we see the curse that's handed down here. We see that it's the curse that is the direct result of the fall of man into sin. And we are all born into this curse. But even in the midst of delivering this curse, there is hope. In the midst of this, in verse 15, see these words. It says, I will put hostility between you and the woman, speaking to the serpent, speaking to Satan, and between your offspring and her offspring. But then it says, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. The he here is the coming Redeemer. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus. That you'll strike his heel. He will be wounded, but he will strike your head. That Jesus, the one who is coming, will have victory over Satan. And it comes through the cross. That Jesus was wounded, but he rose again. He could not be held down, and he had victory over Satan, victory over the curse. So even in the midst of God's righteous judgment, he is pointing towards a future hope. He is pointing towards redemption and a way for people to be restored to relationship with God. And we see this in more detail coming out just a little bit further. The last spot in Genesis I want us to read is in chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this. It says, "The Lord said to Abram," who later is his name is changed to Abraham, "said, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now God here makes a covenant with Abraham to bless him. In those last words, he says, "And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you." If you remember, if you were with us a few weeks ago at the beginning of our Advent, of our Christmas season, we looked at the first chapter of Matthew and this genealogy of Jesus. And we looked at how Jesus fulfilled so many of these important things. And one of the main things we saw right there was that Jesus came through the line of Abraham. And so that we, sitting here today, are blessed that our salvation came through Abraham. That salvation is made possible for all nations, for all peoples, whether Jew, Gentile, for all peoples, salvation is made possible through Abraham. And so here we've seen the fall, we've seen the curse, we've seen a pointing towards redemption, and here God makes this covenant with Abraham, saying, "I will bless the people through you. I will take curse and turn it into blessing through you." He's working towards redemption. And then the last passage in this part that I want us to see is in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it says this. It says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith." We see this now. We see this after that Christ has come, and we see how he has fulfilled this, that he came to be the curse. He came to take on the penalty for our sins so that we could receive salvation, so that we could be blessed. And the greatest and only true, eternal, lasting blessing that we can receive is the forgiveness of our sins, is life through Jesus Christ. Nothing else will have a lasting impact. If we desire to be a blessing to others, as we're saying today, that Hope Valley Church, one of the things we are here for is to be a blessing. If we desire that, then we must have first been blessed ourselves. We must first have received the blessing of salvation through Jesus. Because we can't offer what we do not have, right? And anything short of salvation that we can offer is temporary, is not lasting. It's futile in the end. And so the second thing I want us to see today is that as Christians, we can either offer to others a blessing, or we can be a blessing to others, or we can be a burden, we can be a curse towards others. And the way that we see this is that it's true both on the individual level, and as we also are talking about as a church, and as our identity as a church, and what we do as a church, those same questions are true. And so we are either a blessing or we are a curse. We examine which of these we are by looking at our mission and our goal here on earth. Our greatest goal and mission in everything is for people to receive salvation through Jesus. And we see this clearly in the words of Jesus a few chapters later in Matthew 28, the end of this gospel. In verse 19 and 20, what we call the Great Commission, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded to you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's our goal. That's our purpose, is to make disciples, is to take the gospel to others. And in light of this goal, we look at how this curse, how this reality of how we can bless or curse others. In our main passage here in Matthew 25, we see a couple things. We see in verse 35 and following, Jesus is saying, hey, to those that he's put on his right, he's saying, hey, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And this confuses the people. They're like, we never did this, right? He says, but what you did to the least of these, you have done to me. And then in verses 45 and 46, as he's finishing this, he's talked to the other group. And he says, hey, you didn't. I was hungry and you didn't care for me. You didn't meet my needs. And he says, what you didn't do to the least of these, you did to me. And in 45, he says, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so here Jesus connects that on a deeper level, okay, that the way that we offer a curse to others, the way that we make that what we are doing towards others, is by doing anything that doesn't ultimately point people to Jesus. And the opposite, that we bless others by making everything we do about pointing the least of these, pointing the people around us to Jesus. And if we look at it in that simplest of lens, right? It's not a list of these are things we should never do, these are things we should do, and we're not creating this like super thick rule list, okay? But we're saying, hey, do my actions point people towards the hope that I have because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Because that's the way that we can bless. That's the way we can be a blessing to others. And so we look at the example of Jesus. We look at the way Jesus is saying, hey, what you do to the least of these, what you do to those around you, you do to me. And we have many, many opportunities to be like a curse to others, right? Because we have many opportunities on a daily basis where people treat us in that type of way, right? Where someone treats us rudely at the grocery store. Where someone gives us an opportunity to speak rudely in return. Someone gives us an opportunity to be like that, right? I don't have to go on and on. You know those. You can think of those times. You can think of those ways when you feel mistreated and you feel like that's the right response. Or when you're just not having the best of day, or you're in that type of mood or attitude and you feel like just not being a blessing, right? that's a way that we curse people, right? Because in that moment, we are doing nothing that can point people to Jesus. We're doing nothing that can show people that there is something different about us. And this doesn't mean that every conversation we have is going to have the name Jesus in it, okay? But let's think about this. Our actions can point to Jesus, right? It takes more than just our actions. It takes actually speaking the words. But if our actions point towards curse, if our actions are the other direction, then we're falling short. If our actions show something contrary to the life and ministry and gospel of Jesus Christ, then how do we offer the blessing? How do we work towards our greatest goal of the people around us coming to know the hope, the life, the eternal life that we have in Jesus? We offer a blessing. Jesus demonstrates this to us. Jesus demonstrates the way that he treated others even when he was mistreated. And that's the biggest thing for us here. Is we want people to know Christ. We want them to know the hope. And we're willing for ourselves to be brought down, for ourselves to be humbled. Jesus humbled himself, it says, to the point of death on a cross. We take the place of humility. We can endure the mistreatment and still offer a blessing because we want others to know the hope of Christ. And also as a church, there's ways that we specifically, intentionally work to be a blessing to our community, right? Here's just some of the things in the short time, the months that we've existed since Hope Valley Church started. Some of the things that we've done that are for the purpose of carrying this out, of being a blessing to those around us. In the summertime, we started last summer, and this summer we will do even more of it. We started things that we call Camp in the Park, which is little day camps in several of our neighborhood parks around the area, doing block parties in those parks. We would do things where we just show up and make snow cones and hand out snow cones and talk to people. And we do things at the school, at Antelope Canyon Elementary here. Our most recent thing, and a very exciting one, was in December when we got to do a night in Bethlehem where we had a couple hundred people here from our community and sharing with them about the story of Christ coming, the story of his birth, and having fun with them, interacting and blessing those families. We do those things to be a blessing, okay? We believe that we can either be known as a blessing on our community or we can be a burden on our community. And we want to be a blessing. We don't want, when people see the name Hope Valley Church, we don't want them to think, oh man, they are just a pain, right? And if they have a negative thought, we want it to be conviction from the Lord, right? Because he's working on them. But we want them to think, oh, that is a church that is here for the good of this community. Even if they don't know Jesus yet, we want them to think and see that we are here to be a blessing. Because we believe in that, that gives us opportunities for them to hear the gospel. It gives us opportunities for them to, when they are ready to trust in Christ, that they have a positive view and they see how the church is here to bless them. And because we're modeling what the New Testament teaches us to do. It's not because we are exceptional. It's because we are just seeking to follow what the Bible tells us. What the Bible guides us in as what a church is supposed to be. As we think about that, guys, like I said, I don't want to overcomplicate it. I want us to realize, though, that firstly, yes, we are all either blessed or cursed. We're cursed in our sin, and we have an opportunity to receive the blessing of salvation in Jesus. In Ephesians 2, it tells us that it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, that our sins are forgiven. And that Romans 10:13 says it's anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And anyone who calls out and trusts in Him, God will save them. And that's the message we have to share. That's the message that has given us a blessing, all right? That we are blessed here, and we know that after this life on earth, that we have eternal life with God, that we have eternal blessing. But the reality of that is that we know that anyone who has not trusted in that is still living under that curse. They're still living under the penalty, the burden of their sins. And we want them to know the hope. We want them to know that there is a gospel that's available. And it's not by them trying to live a perfect life and trying to be good enough, but it's by the grace of Jesus. And then we want to offer that blessing. We want that blessing to be something we are known for. That we go out of our way as individuals, that we go out of our way as a church to bless others, and that the gospel of Jesus shines forth, that we are offering that grace. And so as we respond, as we enter the last part of our worship gathering today, in a moment we'll sing another song, we'll have opportunity for the Lord's Supper. But first, I'd like to invite us to take a moment to pray on these truths. To pray and offer thanks to God. If you've received forgiveness of your sins by faith in Jesus, just take a moment to praise Him and to thank Him for that gift. If you have not received that, to know that today is the perfect time for you to trust in Him, for you to call on Him for salvation. I invite you, let's pray together in this time. I will pray out loud in a moment, but I invite you to just pray silently, individually where you're at, to thank God for the blessing you've received in Him, to pray that God will use you to be a blessing to those around you, to share His hope, to show the eternal blessing that is available to them, to show the hope of the gospel. Lord Jesus, thank You for making a way for us to be brought from curse to blessing, to be brought from death to life, from slavery to our sin to freedom and forgiveness and abundant life. Thank You. Lord, we praise You. We've done nothing to deserve that, but in Your goodness, in Your grace, You've given that to us. And Lord, we pray for anyone hearing this and for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our classmates who do not know that grace, who do not know the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, we pray that You will move in their hearts. Lord, we pray that You'll allow us to be a blessing to them, to show them extravagant blessing, and to speak Your truths to them. Lord, You are good. You are gracious. You are so faithful to us. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You for opportunity that we have as we finish this time together to worship You through the Lord's Supper. Lord, I pray that as we take the juice and the bread and as we remember the sacrifice that You made for us on the cross, that Your body was broken and beaten and Your blood was shed to pay the penalty for our sins, to bear the curse that we could not redeem ourselves from. Lord, thank You. We love You. We praise You. And it's only in your name, Lord Jesus, that we can pray, that we can receive salvation. Thank you, Lord. Amen.